You always look, as a pastor, you always look to what can help the body become stronger. You know, Pastor Mike and I are looking to build strong families. So it's not like we have a book of sermons, but you kind of sense what the Holy Ghost is doing, and then you look out, and you kind of know the state of where people are at, and you try to sense what could we use that would make us stronger or more effective. We know the Lord doesn't love anyone in here more than someone else. He doesn't love you more just because you may be a better person. He loves us unconditional. Amen? But we have learned as believers that when we learn and we see things clearer, we end up reaping more of the benefits that God has purposed for all of us. Amen? A few weeks ago when I was sharing the story of the Good Samaritan, I want to lay that foundation only so those that have not been with us will kind of have an understanding where we're at. The Good Samaritan was a story that Jesus gave to a very, intelligent lawyer that came to challenge Jesus. And I'll say challenge to get more clarity. This lawyer, which was very gifted in understanding the law or the old covenant, so he came to Jesus out of Luke 10, and you'll have that in your notes. And he says, Jesus, no one can do what you do unless God is with you, but tell me what you would have me to do. And Jesus turned it back on this very smart understanding the law and says, what is written in the old manuscript? And the lawyer says that you should love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, body, and strength, and that you should love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus turns to him. You answered well. Because again, Jesus knows what was written in the old covenant. But the smart lawyer wanted to know what possibly would Jesus refer to as a neighbor. He knew, love God with all your heart, soul, and body, but what's it mean? Who do you see as the neighbor? And then Jesus took opportunity to lay out this scenario. He used a Levite and a priest, very knowledgeable, and actually they were teachers of the old covenant. He says they came upon an individual that had been severely beaten, stripped, and left to die. And both of them, it says, they looked at this individual and crossed over on the other side. Both of them. Then comes what we would call an enemy of the Jewish race, called a Samaritan, a mixture of Jew and Gentile. Did a lot of mystery type of stuff, so they weren't necessarily appreciated. It said the Samaritan looked and had compassion on this individual, went to them, bound up their wounds, got them on their vehicle, which was a horse or donkey, took him to an inn, continued to work on this person's recovery, and then because he had an appointment, had to leave, he told the innkeeper, if there's any added expense, I will make up when I come back what I owe you. And then he left. Jesus turns to this very knowledgeable lawyer that understood the old covenant or the law and said, which of these three is the neighbor? And of course, the response was the one that took the time to help the person in need. And Jesus' response back to this very intellectual person was, you're right. Go and do likewise. So I share that because we have to have the concept of where I'm going today to understand what was the difference between these three individuals. And let me highlight the Samaritan. The Samaritan didn't focus that this was an enemy or not, but he looked and he saw with compassion, whereas the other two looked away, and kept on walking. Now listen, church, because where I'm going with us today is you can have eyes and still not see.
Right. Come on.
And yet, that's not God's best. God wants us as Christians to not only have the eyes naturally, but he wants us to have spiritual eyes. This individual of the three had eyes to see and focus what is the heart of God the Father. It's to carry out and take care of this individual. So we look at the unfolding. What did the Samaritan do? He had face-to-face contact with this person in need. We talked a few weeks ago about being cemented together with the body of Christ. How many know that you get strength from one another? Amen. That there's never been a call on us to be lone rangers. We've all to be connected with others. Because I may be the hand today, but you may be the foot, you may be the ear, you may be the eye. Nobody has all the parts. Jesus is the head, and we are the body. But we are to learn as we see this. So he embraced face to face to allow the God of heaven to see there's a need here. And then he took these arms of mercy. Now remember I shared the difference. Grace keeps us from getting the punishment we deserve. Jesus on the cross removed that. Grace releases the love we all need. And that's why the Lord said he embraced this person in need, picked him up, put him on his horse or donkey, and took him to the inn. But today, I want to talk to you about how we need to grow in the area of being able to see and really see. Let me give you an illustration. In fact, let me have you go to a scripture. I'll read it to you. You can turn to it. It's in your notes. John chapter 3, Jesus explaining to Nicodemus. But I want you to understand this concept because it's very important. We all are born, unless we have something that transpired, with the ability to naturally see. And he goes on, he says this, Jesus has an individual that came out again and witnessed all that Jesus was doing. And he wants to know, nobody can do this kind of stuff lest you be with God. And this is the profound statement I want us to understand this morning. And I'm going to pick it up at 2. The man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi or teacher, we know you are a teacher. You've come from God, for no one can do the things or the signs that you do unless God is with him. And look at the response, and this is where I want to go today. Verse 3 says, Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, red letters, if you got the red letter version, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Now look at me, church. We're not talking about heaven. When you're in heaven, you're going to see all the kingdom. But he's talking about how he taught the disciples to pray that the kingdom would come, the will would be done on earth as it's already going on in heaven. If you want to see the kingdom going on here, you must be born again. Because see, let me tell you this. When you are born, we all have these eyes, and you have to learn to see with natural eyes. When you get born again, and you get this new set of spiritual eyes, you don't totally see everything correctly. You've got to develop and work on seeing as God would have you see, and that's called growth. I was interested to see when we are putting the addition on how many people, Pastor Mike and I would be all excited for something we got done, and people come in and we say, well, what'd you think of this? I didn't see that. We laid all the grass. We took painstaking hours to lay all the new turf. This wasn't just planted seed. This was turf. Ooh, we were all excited, two little kids. Oh, my gosh, can't wait for people to come and see how beautiful it looks. I'm telling you, 9 out of 10 people didn't even know we put grass down. How many times you been in a vehicle and you go by and when did that building go up? I mean, it's been there for maybe months, if not years. But you see, we go through life, we see, but we don't see. Right. We're kind of like the ostrich that we see the picture of an ostrich with his head in the what? Sand. The sand. In relationships, how many times has your spouse said, I already told you that? Or I can't believe. We're traveling, and my wife says, gosh, are you going the right way? I don't remember this. I'm saying, these facilities and that have always been here. We're going the right way. But in the natural, it's a truth. But let me tell you, it's the same, even more sensitive in the spiritual. We wonder why so many people don't see it the same way. Well, there's a reason why. These spiritual eyes have to grow up, and how they grow is they are cross-pollinated with others that have these born-again eyes. And in that, a multitude of counsel, there's safety, so we don't end up in the ditch, or we don't get caught up on doing just our thing. It drew me to focus on why the Lord referred to sheep and goats, and we're always referred to as sheep. Now, we used to raise goats, so we know there's a big difference between sheep and goats. Biologically, there's a difference. Goats have more chromosomes than sheep. Yes, they do. And someone says, who cares? If you've ever watched goats, goats are very independent. They're out there frolicking around. They don't necessarily need to hang with a pack. And they don't normally eat looking down. They're looking up. They're getting stuff off trees, off bushes. They're all over the place. They're very independent. I worked a summer on a sheep farm. And I remember people telling me, oh, sheep, they're so cuddly and cute and smelling good. No. They're dumb. They're smelly. And forgive me, Steph, but I'd say even stupid. I mean, goats will jump all over, but they're always looking around. Now, let me just tell you a characteristic that why I understand why God refers to us as sheep. Sheep and goats have the same eye capabilities. In other words, sheep cannot see very good close, but they have almost a supernatural ability to see long distance and to see at a 360-degree angle. Some of you might get freaked out at what their eyes look like. But God created them so their eyes could see anything approaching behind them and also keep a lookout for up front, but looking long term. Now, goats eat off bushes and trees. Sheep, almost 100% of the time, keep their heads down almost all the time. Now, you might say because they see very poorly up close, which could be part of it. I was reading an account of also a sheep farmer that said that his was free grazing sheep where he had to watch for the predators. And he says the most amazing thing happened one time. He's got two sheep side by side and a predator, I don't remember if it was a wolf or a coyote, came up and literally killed one of the sheep and dragged it off, and that other one just kept eating. kept their head down. And I got to thinking the revelation of that. As a Christian, the difference between sheep and goats, sheep have to completely trust in the shepherd to be looking out for them. Where goats are so independent, they don't care if there's a shepherd or not. They're all over the place. And I thought, why the Lord calls us sheep, because he wants us to always have to depend upon him. But he also wants our spiritual eyes to quit looking down and look up from where our help cometh from. And begin to focus on things, because it's not just on where we're going, it's also on the dangers that are trying to sneak up and take us out from behind. Some of you have watched some of these videos of people now, they may now be looking up, but now everybody's on their phones looking down, falling into ponds or tripping or walking out in front of traffic. There is something about, we have got to train ourselves to look up and not down. Because naturally, we are sheep. And that's why we've got to be trained to look up from where our help comes from. And I thought to myself, it's just not an automatic. Just not everybody is seeing. And this is why. If you don't think we have an enemy, yeah, we have our flesh, which is an enemy. But we've got an enemy that is out to try to take us out. He knows he can't take us to hell, but he does know he can keep us out of seeing God's kingdom. See, you have to be born again, but after you're born again, you've got to be taught how to look up and see beyond what you see. But this is why we deal in the body of Christ on a lot of people being blinded. There's a scripture in the New Testament. You know Peter. Peter, who was crucified upside down, denied Jesus, but he had a heart for God. He quoted this. I don't think I put this in your note, but this is what it says in 1 Peter 5:8. Believers, be somber, be watchful, because your adversary, the devil, is walking about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Now, I don't care if you've been taught by somebody, oh, no, the lions are toothless, they can't hurt you. Nonsense. We're losing brothers and sisters, and we're losing people getting wiped out because that lion does have teeth. I'm not saying taking people to hell. If Jesus Christ is their Lord, we know they graduate, but it's here that God wants us to have eyes to see. Get your heads up and focused on where we're going and see beyond what you see in the natural. Because the enemy is trying to stun us and take us out. Second Corinthians, another New Testament. Paul is trying to explain to a very carnal bunch of believers, when he's ministering to the Corinthians, these are not Gentiles, these are not unbelievers, these are believers. And he's telling them, if you were stumbling, let me paraphrase, if you're not seeing clearly, if the gospel is veiled, it's veiled because the God of this world has blinded you. He gave us in Matthew and in the gospel, he says, I am going to give you authority to bind and to loose. And Paul is trying to tell us that there's a God in this world, I'm going to say a devil, that's looking to devour us. And so he's putting things out there. And if you don't have eyes to see beyond the nonsense and the noise, you wonder why you keep falling in ditches. I was thinking a few years ago, a local pastor's wife, I know somebody knows who I'm talking about, was riding her bike, our rail trail here. When a thug, now she was paying attention, she was alert. A thug came out and was talking about taking her and doing unmentionable things to her. And of course, she was a CPL holder. She pulled her revolver and there was never a quieter moment. He immediately took off. I'm telling you, the enemy will take off if we implement what God has given us. Eyes to see what's not only in front of us, but what's coming up behind us. We could be like the super group. We got supernatural eyes. Because the Lord is allowing us to see danger. Remember when Paul was called Saul and he hated Christians? And we understand the road to Damascus. He's on this journey on his donkey and all of a sudden he gets knocked off it. At that moment, he not only has a God experience, but he gets saved. He says, oh, Lord, what is it? And of course, he said, hey, why are you attacking my people? From that moment, he couldn't see. I believe he was saved. But his spiritual eyes had yet not been developed. So he needed to rely on others. If you look at the ninth chapter of Acts, it goes on and it says, as the ministers are around him, scales fall and all of a sudden he could see things. Now listen, as you read further down, it says, but he didn't just take off. He stayed with the disciples and he continuously learned so he could see even better. And then later on in the 9th chapter talks about then he went out and preached. But remember, this Saul that became Paul continuously said, geez, I end up doing what I shouldn't do and not doing what I should do. In other words, he realized, I still got to rely on a body and I still got to develop my eyes so I can see. The Lord has gifted us with this Holy Spirit. And he said, I'm going to go, Jesus did, but I'm going to give you a gift that will never leave you. This Holy Spirit is trying to get us to see like God sees, not just naturally. And so, I know you've heard this. I've gone around the world, my wife and I, ministering. Whenever we'd get to large cities, people in large cities don't want to see. They'll stay focused on whatever they're doing. You have to almost interrupt them to get them to say hi. We're blinded. When you get to a small, I've heard people come from larger churches, and we love all churches, amen? Nobody even saw me there. Well, they see you, but there's so much going on that they're missing. They're missing the dimension that needs to be seen. The Lord does not call us to not see well, and we draw from one another so we can see clearer, so we can avoid the pitfalls that the enemy, as a lion, roaring about, seeking whom he may devour. Now look at me, church. Most of you note that you came close to being devoured many times. And the grace of God somehow got in there because you're here today and stopped it. Whether your life was in danger, we're coming back from visiting my father and my wife's mother, and this huge, Travis, got to teach those truckers, this trucker, and I'm turning to get off this expressway, and I'm telling you, I'm this horn blared, and I thought, Lord, here we come. And it didn't let off. They kept on. And my wife said, What'd you do? I says, I went off the expressway. And this guy didn't want me to slow him down whatsoever, coming on fast. I don't know how many times you don't get to see the times the Lord protects you, but it's multiple times. And he gives you thoughts and he gives you things to see. But if we don't listen, how does anybody grow up? How does a child learn to look at something and look beyond it or look to forgive somebody that's harmed? Because they have to be taught. Same way spiritually. We have to be able to get through the noise to see what is the truth behind something. Because it may be a mirage. It may not be what we think it is. So why do we need our spiritual eyes strengthened? So we can not only protect ourselves, but we can also protect the mission of where God has planted us. And also to keep us connected to the shepherd. See, he may be distant, but he's not distant because he gave us the Holy Ghost. He may be at the right hand of the Father, but the Holy Ghost lives in us. And he's constantly nudging us to raise our heads up and look from where our help comes from. And many times what we're seeing has to be seen beyond what it looks like. Amen? A few years ago, I'm going to say when I was being raised, I remember there was a presidential election and my elementary classmates were picking between Catholic and Protestant because this was the first Catholic to run. His name was Kennedy. And I remember the bitterness and I thought to myself, what is the deal? This guy is pro-life. This guy is pro-family. And yet, if you didn't see beyond that, you allowed the party that he represented to dictate you. And at that time, it was amazing how many Christians were falling into that. A few years later, another candidate from this same party ran. Good Baptist brother. Jimmy Carter. He stood for the right of life. He stood for the sanctity of life. He stood to protect. By the time the end of his thing nothing was getting fulfilled. And then we know he didn't get reelected. Fast forward, gang. Many of you that are in my nucleus circles, for the longest time, I've been so frustrated. You know, I'm not Republican, I'm not Democrat, but I am pro-life, and I am pro-family. And I don't weigh something by what somebody's going to tell me because I have been so disappointed. My wife and I rallied people to vote for Pat Robertson years ago, and we saw so much deception in the body of Christ. We saw people promising things, never fulfilled it. And I thought, God, they're blinded. And so the Lord began to take me back to this place. And some of you that come to daily prayer here now, you know how we pray. God, we bind the God of this world that's blinding our brothers and sisters from the truth. I'm talking about believers. I remember when I got this gut in my thing, I couldn't even share it with anybody because I knew that people would say, how in the world would you stand for this guy? Number of marriages and all this. Something in my gut says that this person can't get bought and will stand up and follow through and protect the innocent lives and the family. And I remember trying to share with my family, and they says, they wouldn't even let me bring out who I was thinking it would be. Well, you know, Cruz, he's a Christian, and he's this, and he's that, and you know, Huckabee, oh my gosh, what a father, loves God, loves, and I thought, oh, that, but something told me that we can get people into office, and nothing's going to change. So the election comes, 2016, and see, I used to not even be able to share because of the last management would not let Christians share from their heart. And I remember at that time, 66% of evangelicals voted for President Trump. And some would say that's a high amount. And I says, evangelical Christians are not traditional Christians. An evangelical Christian is somebody that takes their faith and they share it with others. So I watched this. And I watched because I'm praying with pastors. And you can't change. And wherever you're at, I'm just trying to tell you, please have eyes to see beyond. As we've looked at all the noise and we've gotten to this place, 97% of evangelicals now have seen it. And they see now we've got things breaking out in states that they're protecting the babies in the womb. I'm going to tell you, mothers, do you think life began in your child that you birthed when they were born, or did you know in your womb there was a real life babies? I'm telling you, it isn't even a thought. Church, Lord, give us eyes to see beyond. And don't get caught up in the noise. Why is that high a percentage? Because they've seen the fruits. And we in Michigan are standing with two new proposals to protect the innocent and protect the sanctity of marriage. Don't get blinded into a place where you think there's not a whole lot of good pro-family coming forth. I am not for a party. I am for the fruit of somebody that's going to make a difference. I'm tired of listening to the noise. I'm tired to watch a bunch of candidates on the platform, and now they're coming out and saying, we all are going to go for Roe versus Wade. Church, wake up! But we're praying the blinders off so people aren't even hiding that anymore. Church, surround yourself with Christians that are going to get you beyond the noise so you can see with eyes to see beyond what it looks like. My prayer for you all is that you'll not get hoodwinked, but you'll stay cemented with other believers in a multitude of counsel or safety, that we will see clearer and clearer as the times go on. You cannot change anybody, but the Lord can. And my prayer has been every day we pray that the spirit of confusion would be bound and the light of Christ would shine. And Lord, wrap in a mantle of confusion if there's opposition to your family structure. and let God do his part. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this body of believers that are standing on your word and standing on the love they have one for another. And we stand in agreement today, Lord, as we lift up our families, as we lift up our community. We pray, Lord God, give us those spiritual eyes to see like we've never seen before. Father God, I pray that our eyes be open to see beyond the noise, to see the truth. And Lord, I do lift up this time. I lift up all those lives, Father God, that need to be born. I lift up all the elderly that need to be sheltered. I lift up, Father God, those military people that are coming back that need to be provided for. Lord God, open up the eyes to America to see like you would call us to see. Hate no one, but love the good. And Father, I pray for breakthroughs on everyone that's listening that needs a breakthrough today, that as their eyes are open, that they will see where to walk and where not to walk. And I thank you for revelation truth that is coming. We have declared that Saginaw is free. We have declared that Saginaw loves Jesus. And we thank you for a release of kingdom now. Eyes to see your kingdom being released now on earth as it already is in heaven. And Father, if there's anyone listening that has not made Jesus Christ their Lord, or maybe they've come today and they need to come back to the Lord, we thank you for that opportunity right now, that if you'll make Jesus Christ your Lord or declare the Lordship of Christ, he comes and releases those spiritual eyes. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Greet one another. If you need prayer, the altars are open.